What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 335, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that keeps the podcast going. And with me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
A little late night podcasting action. Yeah. What's going on, Bob?
Think Computers After Hours. I have the lights off here, so it's, you know,
yeah,
it's a little different.
Got your RGBs going on.
Yeah. I was talking to you before we started. I got this ring light right here, which actually is making me look semi all right. But I'm gonna get a different one. This one's it's all right, but we want to, you know, just say good evening to everybody. It is definitely late because it's 8 here, which means it's 10 where you are, which means it's 11 back in Pittsburgh on the East Coast. So we have James in the house. Good to see you, James. Hope everything is well. James is in Texas, and he's always eating barbecue. If our friend James, I follow him on Instagram, he's always eating good food, and I'm always so jealous of his food because he's always eating like really
good barbecue. It's not like you don't have good food out there, but you don't.
We
you
do.
Probably don't have as good a barbecue as
barbecue. No, I haven't found I've been to a couple of barbecue places here, but I haven't found one that's like. I mean, he lives in Texas, so
yeah, every corner.
But talking about Amazon, Amazon did this thing, Prime Early Access. I don't know if you saw it.
I did, but I have not had any time.
There was actually
take a look at anything.
There was actually some decent deals, and if you guys are listening to the audio version of this podcast, it's over. It was the 11th through the 12th, and it's going to be over here in probably a couple hours. But if you are on the live stream, there were some like decent deals, especially on like PC components. You know, Amazon always has like their own devices on sale.
Yep.
But when it comes to like actual PC components, they did have some stuff that I saw. We did post some of them on our social media. Let's go to computers. This is the one that I saw. And like a bunch of accessories. We'll just go through a couple of these. Even though, again, if you guys are listening on audio, these sales are over. But there were some like decent deals and some sales on things that literally never go on sale, whether it's on Amazon or Newegg or whatever. 3090 Trinity OC 869. That's a good deal.
When I saw Jim from Home Gadget Geeks, he reached out to me earlier in the week and was like, hey, these are on sale. Like, what are you going with? And he ended up buying the 5600X.
It's right here. Yeah.
He was just like, the price just was unbeatable. I was like, it's pretty good deal.
$164.99 for a Ryzen 5 5600X, which is like a great 6-core, 12-thread processor. Yeah. I highly recommend that level for so many people, especially in his use case too. Kind of a more medium power, low power user. It's a great processor and a great platform. So we had a lot of that stuff on sale. So NVIDIA did discount their higher end 3080 and 3090s, but we also saw stuff like a 3070. I saw 3060 Ti's. Here's a 3060 Ti that's on sale. RX 6950 XT for $800, which is crazy.
Down from what, $1,200?
Yeah, $1,200. Lots of SSDs. And the Strix cards. Like Strix cards literally never go on sale. Like you will not find an ROG Strix product on sale literally ever. They're only giving you 15% off, but it's still 15% off. So they have a 3080 V2 OC edition, normally $1,000, $849 right now. You know, old man in the chat said the 5900X is $334. He could sell his 3900X and get most of his money back. Yeah, I mean, these are Prime only, so you have to have an Amazon Prime account. I think most of us do. How long have you been a Prime person?
Not as long as a lot of people.
Really?
I mean, years, you know.
Yeah, I got it. I started
to jump on it, I think.
You know, it's so crazy to think about because people think, oh, Amazon's been around forever. Like, they don't think of like a time before Amazon. But I remember Amazon and like, oh, you can get stuff delivered. This is so cool. Like, you can get things from the internet delivered to your house. Like, people don't remember that, like, we grew up in a time where like that wasn't a thing. Like you had to go to the grocery store or you had to go to Walmart, Best Buy to get your electronics and other things. And when it became decently popular, I got Prime. I forget how much it was when I initially signed up. It was under $100. I think it's like $120 now or something like that. But yeah, you have to be a Prime member to get these deals, but there's a lot of motherboards, a lot of memory, a lot of graphics cards on sale. And then like a lot of gaming accessories are on sale as well. Razer Viper Ultimate, $59.99. What else do we have here? We have the Sennheiser P37X, which is an amazing gaming headset, especially the mic on that thing. $100, usually $130. You have HyperX Cloud Alpha S, normally $129, $69.99. I mean, there's a lot of good deals. I'm not going to go through all of this because, again, everybody who's listening later on audio would it's over.
Yeah, 5800X 3D was $400.
Jeez.
That's a nice price on that too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good stuff on sale. If you are in the live stream, there's a couple hours left. Get stuff while you or yeah, it says 3 hours and 52 minutes left. So pick up some stuff. And there was a lot of other good stuff. I picked up a bunch of like just like I ordered like all of my like supplements and things on Amazon, and I just ordered all the stuff that I normally get that was all on sale. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff that you guys can, you know, can get and get building a new PC or upgrade your PC or stuff like that. And I'm so mad. So, you know, when my Samsung TV died, I bought that Amazon TV. It was a 50-inch Amazon branded TV. And I think I paid $5.99 at the time. It was just over $100.
What?
Yeah. And I went to it. I was like, I'm going to just buy another one because it's like $100. Like, I'm just going to buy a second one for the bedroom, like whatever. Sure. And it was the wait list was sold out. Like you couldn't get them anymore. They sold out immediately. So there were some like crazy, crazy deals for this. So yeah. But anyways, let's talk about tech. And if you guys do want to follow along with everything that we're going to be talking about this week, we do have our full show notes page that is linked in the description of the video or in the show notes if you're listening to this later on audio. Just as everything that we're going to talk about, you can click through and click through the reviews or any of the news articles that we're going to be talking about. Let's start out with AMD and X670E motherboards. And I've been taking a look at ASRock's X670E Tai Chi for the past week. And it is... I don't know what it is about motherboards, but I'm like a motherboard geek. Like
you love them, man.
Even beyond graphics cards. I mean, graphics cards are like so awesome in what they can do. But for me, I think my favorite product to review is a motherboard. It's not just like one new technology on it. There's like multiple new technologies and then how the board designs have changed over the years. It's always, I don't know, for me, it's just like I geek out on motherboards. So this is ASRock's, I guess you could call it their flagship. They do have the Aqua board, which is, I guess, a higher tier, but it's, sure. You know, has the water cooling built in. This is basically their flagship. And the Tai Chi series has always been their flagship, giving you great value for your money. They do have a special edition of this board, too, which has it's basically white, which we'll show you in a bit. But yeah, this board is pretty awesome. X670E, so it is the Extreme chipset. And the overall design of the board is kind of subdued compared to what we've seen in the past. Right. No moving gear. That was only on Intel. The X or the Z590, Z690 Tai Chis had the moving gear. No moving gear here. You still get the kind of gear design down here.
It's toned down, though.
It's definitely toned down. The RGB is toned down, which I'll show you as well. But it's a good solid board. And as Ryan pointed out, because I was just running through this review to get it done for you guys, this is a EATX motherboard, not an ATX motherboard.
Yeah, you showed me a picture. Was it yesterday or day before? And I was like, yeah. Is that an EATX? And you're like, no, it's just the angle of the picture. I was like, I don't know. I think it looks wide. So
yeah, it's EATX motherboard. We have a new socket, which is pretty cool to see. This is one of the big changes going from AM4 to AM5. AM4 was PGA, meaning that the pins were actually on the CPU itself. Now we're going to LGA, so the pins are on the motherboard. So it's just kind of weird. It's kind of different, right? It's you know, so we have that design on, you know, the AM5 socket here. Yeah, it just slips right in there, which we're used to on Intel processor, you know, but you still want to make sure that for some reason you don't want to bend these pins. I've bent pins on Intel boards that are on the motherboard, just being dumb and, you know, dropping a CPU or just, you know, hitting it or leaving it open like this, and then something else falls on it. I've dropped screwdrivers and I've had this open like this, and you mess up the pin. So you do want to be careful, but I think it's a lot safer than having the pins on the chip, because I've dropped chips after taking them off and then I bend a pin and then the whole chip's gone. So yeah. Talking about power design, this board is just crazy with power design. So you have a 24 plus 2 plus 1 power design, 105 amps on the V-core phases, giving you 2,520 amps for the CPU, which is just crazy amount of power. So this is going to handle easily, you know, your Ryzen 9 7950X. I tested it with a 7900. No issues with power delivery. All of the power is these two massive heat sinks right here. There is an active fan here. For those wondering, it does not get loud, at least in my testing. A lot of the early, especially like X570 boards, that chipset fan would get really, really loud. This doesn't get loud at all, which is really nice. And there's actually a heat pipe that goes, nice. It starts here, it goes all the way through here, and it goes down through the board. Let's get a picture of the board. So it goes down through, goes like this. It starts here, it goes here, it goes here, and it goes all the way over to here, which is pretty crazy, right? It goes through the entire board. So it evenly distributes all of that heat, which is definitely is a good thing. Compared to like recent boards, one of the few boards that I've seen to have the heat pipe go through the entire board. We have DDR5 support on this as well. You have your four slots here, which are metal reinforced. As far as storage on this is a lot of storage. The bottom half of the board, which I thought I had a picture of. So the bottom half of the board, you have heat sinks here. You have a Gen 5 or PCI Express 5.0 slot right here, M.2. And then there's actually two M.2 slots. They are Gen 4. And then you have a third one, which is right here. So it's right beside the memory slots. That one is also a Gen 4 slot, or you can run a SATA M.2 on it if you want. Those, you know, all have the heat sinks. They all have the thermal tape. This one is a 110. The other ones are 80 millimeter, but they're all right there, as you guys can see. And then you have eight SATA ports on this, which is very odd to see.
For that many M.2, I'm surprised to see that many SATA ports.
I put the wrong picture now that I don't have a picture of them. But they're right here. You can see there's 2, 4, 6, 8. Four are from the chipset, four are from a controller. That's just a lot with all the M.2s you have and how M.2 drives are, one, becoming less expensive and just more prevalent. That is a lot of SATA. But if you did want to do, you know, a big storage array with, you know, 10 terabyte drives, I mean, this board can do 80 terabytes. So, yeah. I mean, you know, that's something you want to do. Plus all the M.2 storage you have as well. Exactly. And then the rear I/O, I'll just go over really quickly. Clear CMOS button, which I love to see the button. I hate jumpers. There just shouldn't be. Jumpers need to just be gone on all boards. BIOS reset button, which is really cool. Or BIOS flashback button. Basically, what you can do is you can just plug in a flash drive, hit the BIOS flashback, and it will automatically flash a BIOS. You don't even have to go into the BIOS. It will just go ahead and do it for you. Wi-Fi antenna, 2.5 gig LAN, and then you have a bunch of USB ports, and then two Type-C ports. Those are Thunderbolt 4 ports. There's no USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 on the rear. There is an internal header like most motherboards. I'm still a fan of having the Gen 2x2 on the back. That's just me. I like to have the Gen 2x2 on the back. And Thunderbolt 4, when it goes through USB, it defaults to USB 3.2 Gen 2. So these are only going to run at 1,000 megabytes a second compared to 2,000 megabytes a second that you get from Gen 2x2. So, but again, that's just me. And then the back does have the aluminum plate, which helps with cooling as well as keeping the board pretty rigid, which is obviously a good thing. And again, it just, it's just a nice little added layer. And I didn't mention that the PCI Express slots, which you didn't go over at all, they are metal reinforced. They're two Gen 5s. They will run, like most mainstream boards, top one will run at X16 speeds if you install two cards, which this day and age, I don't know why you're installing two cards, but they'll run at X8 speeds on there as well. Good overall board design. There's not much that I would change. I didn't like the fact that we don't have a rear fan header over here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's also nice to have one like that close to the back of the case.
Yeah, that was the issue. And then I just felt that this is a main or this is a flagship motherboard. It's $499, it's $500 board, 2.5 gig LAN. Just seems.
I was surprised that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Or dual NICs or something.
Yeah, we do have Wi-Fi 6E. Both the Ethernets and the Wi-Fi are made by Killer, so they can work together. So that it uses their double shot pro technology, where you can have both the Wi-Fi going and the Ethernet going at the same time, and you can delegate which goes to which. So like if you want your game, you want that plugged in, you want no latency, you have your games going through the Ethernet and you have like other stuff going through the Wi-Fi or whatever. So you do have that, but yeah, 2.5 gig LAN just seems a little bit limited. We'll go over the lighting real quickly. Not a ton of lighting. Like we said, we have lighting on the chipset heatsink in it's a Tai Chi logo. I'm going the completely wrong way. Here we go. Tai Chi logo. It's likely going to be covered by your graphics card anyways. And then we just have one little section on the side of the board or under the board that's going to illuminate the bottom corner. On previous versions of the board, they had two of these, so it would go up the entire board. But as you can see, it just gives you a little bit of illumination. But again, it would just be nice to have the other one.
Yeah, they've got that back shield kind of is in the place. But yeah, it would have been nice to have both slots.
Yeah. So that's basically going over the entire board. They're using the same software, which I feel is dated as far as their motherboard companion software. They do have a nice piece of software that auto installs when you install Windows 11 that downloads all your drivers for you, which is really nice. I'm a fan of that. I know there's people that are like crazy security people that aren't. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of it. You can turn it off. You can turn it off in the BIOS if you want, but I'm a fan of it, because it just makes it easy to download all of your drivers at once instead of going to the website and be like, I need this driver and this driver. I need this driver. You know what I mean? And then the BIOS is the same as before. I have a whole BIOS video on it, just like X570. And I don't understand why there's no easy mode in ASRock AMD BIOSes. On the Intel side, you have an easy mode, but on the AMD side, you don't have an easy mode. And I don't know why. I don't know if there's two different teams that work on different BIOSes or what the issue is, but easy mode, especially for beginners, makes things easy.
Yeah.
And it's a nice graphical interface. It's less daunting than going through menus. And I just don't know why it is on the it isn't on the AMD side, which is just a bit weird. But check out the review. This is our first board, so we don't have any other boards to, I guess, compare it to. It's the exact same price as the Aorus Gigabyte X670E Aorus Master. And it's priced, of course, lower than Asus's ROG Crosshair. Like, there's a couple different Crosshair boards. It's cheaper than those by a couple $100. So I think it's a good flagship board. I think that it gives you everything you want on the platform, right? Of course, you're going to get DDR5 support. You're going to get PCI Express. Gen 5 on both the expansion slots and on the storage. Then you're getting, you get Thunderbolt 4, you get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 by internal header, tons of storage. You get beyond the Gen 5 M.2, you get three Gen 4 M.2s, and you get 8 SATA connections. Honestly, I would rather have 4 SATA connections and a 10 gig LAN. The design of the board is good. It's kind of, again, more subdued than we're used to seeing from a Tai Chi board, but I do like it. It's quality made. It's a heavy board. I like it. I don't know if what you would change, Ryan, about the board.
No, I agree on the, I was surprised at the back panel. Either it felt like it was missing a couple of USB ports or a secondary or faster.
The thing is that LAN. Most of these companies, and you'll see it, and we've seen it on the Intel side too, with Z690, is they're going with Thunderbolt 4 instead of more USB 3.2 Gen 2 or even Gen 2x2, because Thunderbolt 4 theoretically does give you more bandwidth. You know, and then you hook a dongle up to one of those and you can run, you know, I don't know what the breakdown would be, because I don't know, you know, but one port gives you 40 gigabits per second. Yeah. And then, you know, a USB 3.2 Gen 2 gives you 10. So you're getting 3 times the bandwidth. And then you can hook a dongle up and get, you know, 4 ports instead of 1.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's not enough native, there are some, but there's not a ton of native Thunderbolt 4 devices or even Thunderbolt 3 devices. Because again, you want to take your portable, your portable SSD and you want to take it to your buddy's house, and he doesn't have Thunderbolt. So, most people go the USB route when it comes to, and everything that we have is all USB based. So that's why you don't have as many, but you do get a decent amount of USB ports, I would say, on the back. Let's count them.
It's not terrible, but
10 with the type C's being Thunderbolt 4. Yeah, I mean,
that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
So it's just 2 audio ports, looks like, right?
Yeah, the audio is definitely cut down.
Your optical audio.
Yeah, you get optical and then just a line, and then you get a microphone.
I think it's, like you said, a good flagship board for Mazar.
Yeah, for sure. So check out the review. We have Jim in the chat. Jim from Home Gadget Geeks. Good to see him here. It is late. You guys are up late. I don't know.
He's an evening guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a late night.
I used to be a late night guy, but I mean, it's like technically getting close to my bed. I usually go to bed by like 9:30, and it's 8:30 now. So, I get into my bedtime, you know. But yeah, we will move on to a video that I did. I did a review or a video on a case that we. I'm trying to bring it up here that we already reviewed in the. Look at my face. I paused it at the worst time. The Cooler Master Half 700. We reviewed it a couple of weeks ago. It's a massive case, and I did a video on it. So if you guys want to check that out, definitely go ahead and do that. It was a lot of fun to make. I know, again, the reviews, you see pictures of the case. This gives you a better idea of the actual size of the case because it's next to me. I'll find it up where it is next to me so you can see just how
I was like, did he do something with this? But no, it's just an enormous case.
It's an enormous case. So check out the video. I had a lot of fun making it, and we got a lot of videos coming. Ryan's working on one, I'm working on a bunch, so we'll have a lot more video content coming for you guys. And we did do a video, BIOS video of that ASRock board. If you guys want to see what the BIOS is all about, or if you're just looking for, you're looking for a setting or something, I go through all the settings and everything. So yeah, moving on to Case Mode Friday. I really like this build. I know a lot of people might not, because we've seen a lot of these sort of themed builds, but this is a BMW M3 build from Italian Extreme Modders. And I feel like this is their thing. Like, they do car motorcycle themed builds. And this one is done in the, was the Cooler Master Cosmos C700M, which at the time was their flagship case. Yeah. And I just think the color, I mean, they got this perfect as far as the colors.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, your standard, you know, M series coloring. Yeah. And they put it on so many places and did so well with it. Yeah. The paint job looks good on like that GPU you were just showing. It's got the frosted tubes, which you love.
But the colors, the color matches. That's
And the sleeving on their power cables looks great. Like they match those exceptionally well.
Yeah,
They even put the custom colors on the fans in the center.
And it's and that's the thing is like it's not just. You know, this is not just a normal Gigabyte sticker. Like they put all the colors to match. You know what I mean? It's really the detail. I really really like custom BMW symbol up front there. Yeah, this is a big case too. This is a really 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 big case. Better. Yeah, so really really good job. But oh man, that's nice. I like the lines. They make sense to me, and it's you know.
And it's another build where it's a. Just the CPU loop and not GPU cooled, which you know, is kind of a cool look though.
Yeah, I do like that. And it's Alpha Cool water part or water cooling parts too. So, yeah, I like this one. It just in the front with the little swoosh, whatever you want to call that, right there. Very cool looking. Yeah, so definitely check that out. Nice. From Italian Extreme Motors, we featured probably at least five of their builds. In the past couple years, they do really good stuff. So definitely check that one out. And we'll move on to news. And we did want to start with, obviously we didn't review an RTX 4090, but the reviews came out today. Was it today or was it yesterday? It was today.
Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Custom cards came out today.
Yeah, custom card reviews came out today. I'm impressed. I don't know, let's have you, because you know, you're on a 2070
Super, yep.
Okay, so give us
for me, like anything was going to be an improvement for me, right?
Yeah.
I didn't upgrade to the 30 series, but I was you kind of said it already. I was impressed and a little shocked at the jump in performance. Now, we had also heard, I think, some early on they were like, oh, it's going to be 2 to 4 times faster. I don't think we've seen that necessarily.
In any time a company, like any time a, like, you know, whether it's AMD or NVIDIA, be like, oh, it's this much fat. Like, we always,
you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Like, in what scenario you may have hit that number one time, but like, that's not realistic. So no, I was super impressed, especially at higher resolutions, right? Like, this is not a 1080 card by any means, unless you need to run something at ungodly frame rates, right, in League of Legends or CSGO or something where you just need some crazy frame rates. But like 1440, this thing is gonna kick ass on 1440, and then 4K, it's still just a beast of a card performance wise so I'm impressed by it. I you know, there's some comparisons you can do with launch prices of, like, you compare like the 3090 Ti launch price of $2,000 to this $1,600 launch price, and the performance you get between those two, it's like, well, this seems like a no-brainer. It's so much cheaper than that was, right? But the prices for those 3090 TIs now is much less than it was at its launch price, so something to keep in mind there. But yeah, launch price to launch price and performance jump is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree. I still think that the launch price is $1,599 for the Founders Edition, which sold out almost instantly. That's still a lot of money. Even, you know, we did go through this point in time where you weren't spending, you know, I mean, things were $2,000 and above when we had supply chain issues and scalping and all that stuff, obviously, right? But yeah, $1,600 bucks is still a lot, especially when you can get 3090 TIs for well under $1,000. So yeah, I'm okay with the price, but it is a lot, I would say, even based on the performance. Now, performance, I did write some figures down because I wanted to remember them. I would say, based on everything that I've read, obviously we didn't review the car, but all the reviews that I read and videos that I watched, it's the largest bump in performance that we've seen from NVIDIA in a very long time. Just to go over some of the stuff, it's 45, and this is without any DLSS or any of the tech. This is just raw performance. 45% better performance than the RTX 3090 Ti. Raw performance. 89% better than the RTX 3080.
That's stupid, yeah.
And then 64% better than a Radeon RX 6950 XT. I mean,
that's pretty nuts.
That's just crazy. I think NVIDIA just wanted to blow things out of the water.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Old Man Says PC Per talked about the 4090 at its overclocking limit, and that they were overclockers complaining that there's no headroom. And I think that plays into what you just said, is like they wanted to blow things out of the water. And you know, we have a launch coming up from AMD. I think they wanted to push this chip as hard as they could, as far as they could, so that AMD just doesn't have a response.
Yeah,
or much of one, right? And we still have room for a 4090 Ti theoretically. Yeah. So,
and I did read that the power, you get more leeway on the power limits, but it is more efficient technically. But it does put, if you're gonna push it as far as overclocking, it will pull a lot more power than the previous card. So, yeah, the card's big too. They are very big to keep that thing cool. But from, again, what I read in normal operating scenarios, it's not all that hot either. Yeah, I'm impressed. I don't know. I didn't know what to think because we saw the press conference and I was like, why are you saying 2 to 4 time? Like, what does that mean? This just sounds like marketing jargon. Like, what does that actually mean? Right, and right. You know, and again, we always take those things with a grain of salt, but seeing this, you know, seeing this performance, yeah. But again, so I have a 3090. When we game I'm gaming at 1440p. I don't see a reason for me to spend $1,600 on a card.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me it'd be overkill as well, right? I'm running a 1440 screen, so with 144 hertz refresh rate, I know it's going to be overkill for me, right? So 4090 is not the card for me. It's the card for somebody, right? You want to run 4K at high refresh
rates. It makes you wonder too. So last generation they launched the 3080 first,
right?
20 series they launched the
multiple at the same time, I thought.
Yeah. And this time they're doing the big boy first.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see as we go down the product stack. Are we still going to get that level of performance boost over the previous generation? Like, is a, you know, 4070 going to be 2 times better than the 3070, right?
I think so.
Or do they just blow this out so crazy in the 4090s that everybody wanted it, and then you get, you know, 25%, right? 15%. Yeah. Like, you don't know how it's going to go down the line. This is a big deal. And you know, you're going from 10 nanometer to 4. Is that, I think,
yeah,
on it or something like that. Correct. Yeah. Yep. So that makes a big deal as well. Yeah. I'm just impressed. I'd love to get one to mess around with and see what it can really do. But this is a card. And like, when it comes to the ray tracing performance too, the tech has
that been was a lot better as well.
Yeah, a lot better. Like, you always took a performance hit, but it's not as bad this time. And from the reviews that I read, you could do 4K with ray tracing at over 60 FPS, which is, especially games that you're not playing competitively, would be beautiful to play on
absolutely
great 4K monitor. So yeah, I would say if you're looking to upgrade, this is a good upgrade. You just have to be able to stomach the price, right? That's the biggest limiter for most people, is the price. I don't think there's any other considerations that I would really say if you're looking to upgrade at this point, right? Yeah. So, all right. Well, talking about 4070, we do have some leaks. So this weird image that I'm going to put up on the screen here from Moore's Law is Not Dead shows, I guess, what RTX 4070 Founders Edition is going to look like. I mean, that's the picture.
That is a picture there.
Looks like the same design. You can see the little cutout showing the larger fan. It does show a dual slot card. So that's kind of the news here, is that that's going to be the dual, you know, it's going to be a dual slot card, which you kind of would expect for that level of card. You wouldn't expect a triple slot card at that level. But yeah, that's the 4070. I mean, we can't take much from this, but it's kind of expected that it is going to be a dual slot card.
Right. Design wise, they're not going to change. Like, it's not like it's going to be drastically different than the 4090. Yeah.
So those new Intel Arc A7 GPUs, A750, A770. We talked about them. They're affordable. Affordable cards, right? Throw one in an old system, right?
Throw
an old system.
Incremental upgrades, right?
Yeah. Well, all the performance specs that Intel put out was, of course, with resizable bar enabled. And if you turn off resizable bar, the performance just goes to the hell, which kind of, you know, these cards were kind of made to be affordable gaming cards, right? For everybody, I guess. And resizable bar is only available back to what? Intel 11?
10th gen.
Intel 10th gen. And then Ryzen 5000 series. So you have to have a newer system. So you can't throw this in like a older system and get the same performance because you don't have resizable bar. And to see the difference in performance, right? You know, Tech Power Up had a nice performance graph showing you what what the performance drops down to.
It's almost like using it, in a PCIe 3 configuration, right?
Yeah.
Is how bad it is.
Yeah, it drops considerably. It doesn't make it as competitive, especially against like a 3060. It's kind of sad. But that's good. Like I said, good on Tech Power Up and the other sites that covered that, because again, that's a feature that you're only going to get on certain platforms. And if you wanted to maybe upgrade an older graphics card with this, because it's the price is a lot easier for you, you're not going to get I guess you would call it the advertised performance, because your system can't support resizable bar. So yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer, I would say.
Yeah.
I was kind of excited, but that's a kind of a killer for a lot of people who were looking to get a cheaper card, I would say. But talking about cheaper cards, if you want to go the AMD route right now, you can pick up an AMD Radeon RX 6900 XT for $649.99.
Seems good.
Yeah. That was their flagship before the 6950 XT.
Right.
But 6900 XT is a great card. It is
16 gigs of GDDR6. Yeah. It's awesome.
It's a very good card, a card that you can game in 4K, 1440p, all the way down to 1080p, obviously. Yeah, prices are dropping. This is right before their new launch. It makes you wonder what AMD is going to come out with. What do you think AMD is going to come? Are they going to come out with a card that's actually competitive against a 4090?
I think their 6950 was pretty close to, you know, catching up to NVIDIA. I don't know that they'll be able to hit 4090, but I think they can have a competitive 4080 challenger for sure.
Okay. That's what you think it's going to be?
Yeah.
Yep. I think I'm on the same page. As much as I want AMD to be like, yeah, us too. Or like, you know what I mean? To be like 4090, same performance to $100 cheaper, you know, kind of like what they've done in the past,
right?
With the more aggressive pricing. But it is nice to see these older cards go on sale. Just like we saw with NVIDIA, it was the same thing. It's like, get some cards, you know. It's a great time.
Jim asked, is this the card for his build?
I would still go NVIDIA.
Yeah, it's going to be, I don't want to call it overkill.
It's definitely
it'll last you a lot. It'll last you a long time, you know, I think, which is one of his pieces that he wanted to make sure was like, this is something that's going to last for years. This would definitely do that, but it's probably overkill for your use case, but you'll get the longevity out of it.
Yeah, you will. What were we looking at? 30, 60, 30, 70? Isn't that what we had said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 30, 60, 30, 70. We were looking at for Jim for his new PC build. Yeah. I mean, this would definitely be overkill for that, but I mean, the price is good.
And he went with the 5600X for his CPU. So, yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah. So it's up to Jim to kind of decide. I would still go 3070, but that's me. I just like NVIDIA's drivers. I like the driver package. But again, Jim's use case isn't necessarily gaming, I'd say. So,
right.
Yeah.
Not full gaming.
Yeah. Talking about TwitchCon was actually here in San Diego this past weekend. I don't know if you saw anything. Did you see that girl that broke her back?
Yes.
That's crazy. Do you think she's going to get a lot of money? Like, she has to be getting a ton of money.
Yeah.
And it was
seemed so shady, like the way that they had it laid out. It was like concrete floor with a couple foam blocks.
Let me see if I can find it. Now that we're talking about it, let me see if I can find it.
The way I saw it, like, she kind of jumped off or whatever and then was kind of moving around. So it's not like she wasn't paralyzed when it happened, which is great. Like, that's good.
Here's the
I don't know what the actual injuries
were. Here's the video. Wait, let me make it bigger so we can see this. Try this again. So this girl jumps off.
Around. And she like lands on the foam, but you can tell it's not a deep foam pit because there's people standing to the side there. So you can't be, but anyways, yeah, I saw that. That's kind of crazy.
That was like the biggest news that I saw that came out of TwitchCon. Like, imagine going to TwitchCon and like this girl is a famous streamer.
Right. That's the major story out of the whole thing.
And she broke her back. And imagine if we went to CES, like, oh, let's do this joust because it was like a jousting thing. Oh, Ryan, let's do this. And then I guess she broke her back and she has to get like surgery and all this stuff. Like, it's crazy.
Amazon's got the money for it.
It was at the Lenovo booth.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So that's just crazy to think about it. And you know that she didn't sign like a waiver.
Probably not.
Yeah. So, but anyways, at TwitchCon, Intel was showing off their NUC 13 Extreme, which seems like a pretty interesting device. We've seen their NUC devices before. And this one's pretty interesting because it supports a 3-slot graphics card, which you guys can see here. And it's not that big of a device. I mean, it's decently
It's bigger small. Than previous generations we've seen, though.
Yes, it's definitely bigger than previous generations. A stacked design.
They do some pretty cool stuff, though, with the NUC. Like, I've always been a fan of them.
I think if you wanted a super ultra portable device, this would be it, right? Like, if you're...
I'd have to see it next to some of those, like, in-case M1 and some of those other small builds. Because there's so much proprietariness to the Intel NUC that... I like,
and you just wonder, you also wonder about cooling, right? So this is a triple slot graphics card, big graphics card. And then, this picture, I don't know why we have the small versions of these other ones. But this picture, I mean, it's all
mesh side.
It's all mesh side, but still, I mean, you're compacting so much stuff. And then that graphics card, I just wonder about temperatures, you know, but like, if you're like a professional team, and what professional teams do is they go to like the hotel a couple days before, they all bring like PCs. And if you had all these to bring, it would be easier, right? Or whatever. Or if you just needed a smaller system, you didn't need a big PC build, this would kind of make sense, I would think. But yeah, pretty cool to see that there as well. And then we have ASRock with some new motherboards. I showed you these, Ryan. These are pretty interesting, I would say.
They got some interesting graphics going on for sure.
So we saw this
bright color schemes.
We saw these leaked maybe 3 weeks ago. We saw just a blank PCB, which was actually this PCB. And this is their live mixer series. So it's a new motherboard series. Sorry, guys, my throat is just like dry for some reason. Basically, it's called Live Mixer because they're made for live streaming, streamers, things like that. I think the color scheme, I'm actually a fan of it. I don't know about you.
I think it looks good. I think it's going to be tough to find matching components. You can do a lot with RGB, but unless there's an ASRock Live Mixer GPU that has a similar scheme, it's kind of a pretty bold look.
Yeah, it would be nice if they came out with a whole series, right? Maybe, you know, teamed up with memory company. Obviously teamed up, or, you know, obviously
or do something offered. With like an NZXT that does some of those kind of custom case designs, right?
That would be cool. And this board would fit.
Yeah. Would do it.
But I like this. So they have the B650 for AMD, and then they have the Z790 coming out, which I'm not a fan.
Oops, sorry.
That's all right. I'll bring mine back up. I'm not a fan of
the purple blue one.
Or
purple.
Purple.
Blue. I think it looks all right. I like the other one better, but I think this one could look fine as well.
Yeah.
In a build.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm trying to get them to send me this one, so we'll see kind of how it does. And yeah, I really want to see, because again, this is a render. So I really want to see what it actually looks
in person.
Yeah, see what it, because we haven't seen this crazy color scheme like this.
Since the DFI LAN party board.
That was my favorite board of all time, man. DFI LAN party board, my favorite. It was like the coolest thing, because at that time we really didn't have. I'm gonna bring up
the best all you could ask for was like neon green or orange IDE cable like. Ports, you know, and
let's see if I can
DFI. Woof,
hell yeah, man.
Oh my gosh,
I can't.
And some of, like Chain Tech was another company that had
the pictures are so small on here. How cool were these? But these were like the first boards that really. Did some
and that custom box, that box art with the guy playing, like, that's just ingrained in my memory.
Yeah, because I remember I was like, that dude's so cool, man.
He's got the balls bottles and Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Cans. Oh, I didn't even realize they were balls bottles. That's kind of awesome on there. But yeah, that's what these kind of remind me of. I mean, honestly,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
USB ports. So I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, is more USB ports, things like that. Because again, this is for streamers. So that's the whole idea. So hopefully they send me one and then I can tell you guys more about it. So
sweet.
Yeah. What else? What do you have, Ryan? What are your news? Oh, wait.
Is it my turn? I jumped ahead of you for a second.
No, we have one more, which is just a simple device, which we talked about. And we said there's going to be a company that makes one of these.
Somebody's going to make it. And sure
enough. And Noctua did. So for AM5, of course, like I said, we went from PGA to LGA, and then with that we have a different heatsink design on the actual AMD integrated heatsink. And we talked about it multiple times when this was kind of leaked, that this was the design, is that there's going to be thermal paste everywhere. It's going to get all over the place. And I haven't taken the AIO off of mine to
see where it ended up.
To see where that's the case. But they just came out with this simple thing, the NATG TPG1 thermal paste guard, which basically is just this little piece of, I don't know if it's acrylic or plastic or what it is. It just goes over the CPU and just makes it so you don't get thermal paste everywhere. You can kind of see it just sitting on there. I mean, it makes sense. I'd use it. I don't know if I would necessarily like go out and buy one, but you know,
cool if it came with the coolers. Right? If they had an AMD version that comes with it or something.
Yeah, if Noctua offered these with their coolers, that would be nice.
But yeah, I wouldn't go out of my way to buy one, I don't think.
$10.
Not that they're going to be expensive. Yeah.
$7.
Yeah, that's not bad. Especially if it comes with some thermal paste or something. I don't know if it does. It comes with, are those wipes? Or are those like single use?
Cleaning wipes.
Cleaning wipes.
That's kind of nice to have those. Yeah. I mean, it's just a simple little thing. So I think that, hey, again, if you're doing a lot of installs or moving chips from boards, it makes sense to have, I would say. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Now it's
right. You should get some. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Yeah. Oh, my turn now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ryan's news stories now.
Threw it in early. So we have Mountain, which you've reviewed a Mountain keyboard.
The one that's in the picture. Actually.
Okay, great. So you may be thinking, hey, this looks like a Stream Deck. Well, kind of, yeah. Mountain launched their DisplayPad and MacroPad streaming and content creation controllers. So we've got kind of a 12-button device that's very similar to an Elgato Stream Deck, right? It's essentially buttons you can configure with whatever graphics you want and need, and then program them to perform certain functions, whether that's changing scenes or cameras in your streaming software, or launching applications, you know, hitting a replay button, right? Things like that. So they've got that visual. And then they also have the macro pad, which is very similar concept, except it's just using mechanical key switches instead of LCD backed buttons. So both of these are pretty cool. I think I see a use for both of them. Obviously, the thing I like about Mountain a lot is the modularity of their system, right? You can kind of put the, I really love that you can put the numpad to the left of the keyboard. When mm-hmm. I played WoW heavily back in the day, I had the original Logitech G15. Is that what it was? Yeah, G15 keyboard. And it had like all the extra buttons to the left. And I used that so often, and I've always missed it, but I think, you know, being able to put the numpad to the left, that modularity is nice. Same thing with these, right? You can put them attached to the keyboard wherever you want them to get their functionality.
They're specifically made to sit on the... Yep. They come with that base that you see in the second picture there.
Right, like you got a base here.
Yeah.
They'll connect now, to...
Yeah, they'll connect to the actual keyboard.
Yeah.
The only thing I said, I like the one with the screens. The one that's the number pad, it's $60 for the one that's... The price here at the bottom. Like, the one that's
Yeah, the macro pad is $60.
That's a lot.
So for a 12, yeah, considering you can get a full size keyboard for like $30 more, right? Of good quality. So that does seem a little crazy. The display pad is $110.
How much is
Stream Deck? Stream Deck. They've got multiple sizes, and I haven't kept up with what their
The Stream Deck MK2, which I guess is the newest one, is $149. Yeah. And that gives you... Okay.
It's 15, I think.
Yeah.
15 buttons. So this is 12. So this one's not too bad of a value, to be honest.
And the Stream Deck Mini, which is 6 buttons, $79.99. So, yeah, I would say the one with the screens is...
well.
Yeah, and it's nice that it's kind of in that configuration rather than the Stream Deck. At least the larger ones... That I like having just two big rows, right? That kind of, you can put it in front of your key. It's just, I don't know. I like that more than.
No, I like the layout of the Stream Deck, but I think this absolutely, if you're already a Mountain customer, like the ability to kind of put this into your keyboard environment is awesome. So very cool product there. So nice to see those.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Next up, a device I know you will probably want to get in here is Corsair launched an external USB Type-C SSD, the EX100U. I love the design of this. It's just Corsair in general. Yeah. Like their stuff, usually I'm a big fan of the looks. Available from 500 gigs all the way up to 4 terabytes, so plenty of space to take on the go with you. It is a Type-C Gen 2x2 connection, so you can get up to 20 gigabits a second. It does have 1600 megabytes a second sequential reads and 1500 megabytes a second writes. Type-C connection obviously there with a little rubber cover, which is always nice. I like that when they have a cover over it, so, you know, dust and lint and all of that, you know, you throw this thing in your pocket, you're not getting stuff in there, and it's keeping it protected from just a day-to-day wear and tear. I think this is cool. I mean, it's nothing like blazing fast. It's fast. Don't get me wrong, but it's
3.2 Gen 2x2.
Right. So not insane when you think about like an internal drive, but still plenty fast for external storage.
Yeah.
And really not priced too crazy. I think the 1 terabyte version is like $109. Four terabyte was just over 400.
Maybe they offered an 8. I believe they offered an 8 terabyte too.
What?
Yeah. If you go to the product page, I believe the 8 terabyte.
I dropped down the list. I didn't think I saw it.
I swear I saw an 8, but maybe.
But I also didn't see the 500 gig version either.
How much is a 4 terabyte?
464.
I swear I saw it. No, okay. I was looking at a different product. Never mind. But yeah, I mean, 4 terabyte USB 3.2 Gen 2x2.
It's going to be tiny as well. Like this.
Yeah, it's nice. Super and small. It has that Corsair, just nice look to it.
Just the look. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yep. Very cool. Next up, Herman Miller. Nice chairs. Teamed up with Logitech. What's that?
This is their second one.
With Logitech, though, they have their Vantum, a modern chair. I love the look of this. I like the mesh back that it has.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep cool. I don't get too warm. Like, my room gets pretty warm some of the evenings we're gaming, right? Like, I think last week it got to 80 in here because I have a thermometer on my desk. And I think it got to 80 in here, which is about as hot as it'll get because weather-wise, and we're starting to cool off here in the Midwest. Yeah. And so my AC hadn't been running like the whole day because it just didn't need to, right? The ambient temperature kept it low enough, but that meant that this room didn't get any AC air. So it got warm, but the mesh backing and the material on the seat definitely helps keep cool compared to some of the like leather materials that you'll find a lot of times on the gaming chairs. So I definitely prefer cloth, seating.
That's how like my chair is. Like my chair is, it's an ergonomic chair and you can kind of see it's breathable. I'd say it's breathable.
And the look of this, right? It's got the colors and design. That's not a boring office desk chair or something you're going to go get at Office Depot or Staples or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it's not like racer design crazy look as well. This is the look that I,
and it looks like you have 3 points of, like you have one on the upper back and then two on the lower back, which is nice.
Yep.
It's $1,000. I mean, it's $995.
They say it's at an affordable price. Well, it's more affordable than some of their other chairs, that's for sure. So $1,000 for a chair is kind of nuts.
Yeah, if their last one, let me see how much.
But I do like it. It has a 12-year warranty, which is awesome.
I don't know. So I can't find the old one. The old one, my buddy bought it, and I think it was $1,500.
Like it?
He loves it, but it was. Yeah, so the Herman Miller Logitech Embody, which looks a little bit more in depth. All right, I'll just bring it up on my thing real quick. So here's the Embody. Oh, this one's 17. You know, but like you said, they had that one had what, a 10-year warranty. I believe this one has a 15-year warranty. So it's like 15 years. 12, yeah. I mean, that's a long time. And if you divide 18 by, you know, that's not a whole lot per year. And I always say, when it comes to your, you know, PC, we spend a lot of money on PC, but spend a lot of money on things you use every day. You're sitting in this chair, at least I am, every day. So don't cheap out on your chair because it's going to affect your body. And
usually like
body starts to go, there's bad things. So
it's like the things that separate you from the ground, like your shoes, your mattress, your chair, your tires on your car, like the things that separate you and the ground, don't cheap out on. And it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah. So this is the one that was before. And you can see there's a lot more going on under this. Now, do they have it? Is it on this website? Oh yeah. So here's the new one. So this one's $995, and a lot less going on, I'd say. still, that's a lot of money. When most gaming shares, the cheaper ones are like, you can probably get one now for like $159, like a cheap gaming chair, racing style gaming chair.
It's not going to have some of the, you know, articulation in the arms usually, and maybe some.
I would say average
reclining, but
average price is $299, right?
Yeah, $300. Yeah,
yeah, and then the nicer ones, $500, $600, $700, $800. You know, there are some that are $1,000. But yeah, I mean, that's a lot to spend on a chair, but like I said, I mean, you can, you know, it is something to invest in. I like it. I like that it's breathable. I'd love to sit in one. I assume they'll have at least these at Best Buy. You'd think?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, don't know.
That you could like sit in it and see if you like it, obviously, before you buy it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
All right. And then we have Meta, aka Facebook, announcing the Quest Pro VR headset.
I put this on here and I'm just like, dude, does anybody care? Like, do people care? Do you care? You're a VR person.
What do you mean? Do people care? Jim is literally building this new PC for VR. So yes, people care. And I'm trying to remember the article I read earlier this week, or maybe it was late last week, just about VR and how, you know, when the Oculus Quest first came out and the Vive, and how it was, we just still haven't got over that hump of it being a, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but something that just has that sticking power, right? We haven't gotten there yet, and adoption isn't
I
there.
Guess,
but I think this will help go towards it. I think.
I guess my thing is, we had initial VR was cool because it was like this new thing, and it was you know you could do things. And then when we played it, what's the game where the
Beat Saber?
Block? Yeah, like that was cool, and we played it all at CES, and it was like, yeah, this is cool. I don't think I'd ever buy it. You obviously invested in hardware. And then the next big kind of thing with VR was the Half-Life game, Alex.
Yeah, Half-Life Alex.
That was like a big thing because it was like that brought a lot of attention to it because it was
a
Half-Life title that we've seen. And then since then, for me, it's like I haven't really heard much in the VR space, at least in the gaming space, like stuff that I guess our audience cares about. I haven't heard a ton, like I haven't heard any like titles or anything else that's really got me like, oh man, like maybe I will get a VR headset to play this title. Like Half-Life Alyx, I think, was the last time I was like, oh, maybe I will, because I kind of like Half-Life game. I mean, I want to play it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's why I asked, like, if you care, like you know, this is pretty high end hardware too. It's like $1,500 for this thing.
Yeah, it is, but they've made a lot of improvements to like the lenses, in the headset, and then a lot of improvements to the external cameras for some of that, not VR but AR, augmented reality, right? Full color cameras there, so you can kind of see in full color outside. I know my Vive doesn't do a really awesome job with external cameras. It has that capability, but it's not amazing. And then this charging base I really liked. So they show it in the video, but the headset and the controllers just kind of sit in their slots on this base, right? So it just sits and charges. And it's tetherless, right? It doesn't have a tether to tie you down, which is nice as well. So
I think they need just like with how they need a title. Right. They need a big Halo, a Doom, you know, any like a Fortnite, like a Minecraft.
But if you do that, like you release a title that has such wide adoption, right? A Minecraft, a Halo, a Fortnite, whatever. That thing has to be able to play it at a level where it's a good experience, even if it's dumbed down. It's got to be able to do
that's why I think Half-Life
otherwise Alex, you're going to cut out sense. Yeah, you're going to cut out the people that don't have the, you know, $3,000 gaming PC, and now they've got this $1,500 headset in order to run that, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what, like, so. I said, I think that's why Half-Life Alex, because one, it was the first Half-Life game we got in a long time, And two, it's not a competitive game. It's an adventure style game.
Yeah, at your own speed, right?
Yeah, you don't need crazy high frame rates or anything like that. It was, you know, and again, the whole adventure aspect made it good for VR. It's kind of
So,
yeah, I'm not getting one. I wouldn't, even if it was $400, it's VR is just not. I'm not doing anything in VR. And there's no compelling title that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do. And I'm not going to like sit and do work in VR or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do that type of thing. So, so coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at another awesome light gaming mouse from Razer. If the Razer website ever works, this is not coming up here. It's just a blank screen. Let's try this again. Let's see here. Razer Death Adder V3 Pro. It's just.
All right. Want to do it, huh?
I don't know.
Well, what's the next tab over? Lightest.
It did come up here. Yeah. Okay. So taking a look at the Razer Death Adder V3 Pro. Just like with the Viper V2 Pro. They made it lighter. They improved it. It's very, very lightweight. It's wireless. Comes in white and black. It's a Death Adder. If you've been a PC gamer for a while, there's a chance that you probably used a Razer Death Adder mouse. It was like their fourth product ever. I think the original came out in 2006. Wow. And that's how long this has been a product. Same iconic design that you're used to. It uses their wireless tech, has everything. I mean, it's just really well made mouse. I got the white one, so I'm pretty excited to tell you guys about that. So I will have that for you next week. So I'm excited about that. Do you have as we come to the end here, first some things in the chat. Old man said there was an OFM ESS. Oh, wait, that's not the one. This is the first one. He said AirDisc 480 gigabyte SSD for $19.19. Never heard of AirDisc, but that's pretty cheap, I'd say.
Yeah.
For a 500 gigabyte SSD. I assume that's a SATA-based SSD.
Yeah, it was. I look at it.
Also, he said there's a OFM ESS collection racing style soft thread leather high back office chair. It was $15 on Amazon. It's gone up to $125. So $125 for a racing style chair is not horrible. If you guys want to check that out. So I don't know if old man, if you want to get the games, what's it called? Games?
I was hopping on there to take a look. But
okay. Yeah. The Epic Games stuff. But yeah, for me, this past week, tech related, I just worked on X670 stuff. Hockey season started, so I'm pretty pumped for that.
Okay.
And I've been using ESPN Plus, and it seems like the streaming's a lot better than the previous season. So I don't know what they changed or if they changed anything, but that's the only tech. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I did. That's it. I got a ring light.
But you're returning it.
Yeah, I'm returning this one. I got a better one. This one was cheap, okay. and the stand is very cheap, and it's not something I would use on a normal basis.
Right.
So I might eventually get just like a one that goes on, like the ones you have, sort of, just for streaming. Because sure. This is a bigger one.
It's like a kind of oval shaped.
Yeah. So here we go. Old man has the games. Toe Jam and Earl, Back in the Groove, and Darkwood are free tomorrow on Epic. At 10 a.m.
Right now it's Slain, Back from Hell, and Epic.
Oh, we didn't talk about that last week.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah, so we have all that, but that is everything. We are not going to be streaming because it is late. It's past Ryan's bedtime. It's getting into my bedtime, and I have to
It's not. This is about the time though. I would be finishing streaming. So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so no gaming this week. Maybe Ryan and I will jump on at another time, maybe over the weekend if we want to play some Apex, and we'll put it out on social media and let you guys know. But we appreciate everybody in the live stream. I didn't shout out Nelson, who was in here. Shout out to Nelson, old man, and Jim in the live chat, as well as James, who was in here earlier. Good to see you guys. And everybody else who listens later, we definitely appreciate you. And we will see everybody next week.